Father, thank you for your presence. I thank you just for the sweet, tender, loving presence, just during the worship. And Lord, as we worship you, as we praise you, give you the glory that you deserve, the thanks for what you have done in our lives. It is so inevitable, it is so like you, that you bless back in return. Lord, we love you. We stand, or we sit here now, in appreciation of who you are, and an appreciation of what you have done and how you have changed our lives. And we say thank you. Thank you. And we thank you, Lord, that even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it, that you've got it. You've got this. And that you are the author in creation. The author of creation. And you are in charge of what is happening in our lives. And the plans that you have for us, you have the best for us. And again, when it doesn't feel like it, thank you that you know what you're doing. Amen. So I want to ask you a question, which again, when I usually do this, this is not a rhetorical question, so you're allowed to answer me. Have you ever been intimidated? Have you? Has anybody never been intimidated? They exclude the kids. Hopefully you've never been, but you probably have, but has anybody never been or felt intimidated? We all have. How does it make you feel? That's no rhetorical either. Made you feel small. What else? Afraid. What else? Unworthy. Okay, anything else? Okay. There's more. When you feel intimidated, how else do you feel?
Feel like you want to run away.
Yeah. Or you want to
give up.
You want to quit, don't you? And I don't know. I mean, if you don't have a TV, you can excuse it, but you probably do. And I was thinking about intimidation, and the Lord brought something to my mind. But do you know there's a fight coming up between Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, isn't it? Floyd Mayweather, his name. Yeah. Floyd Mayweather's a boxer, undefeated boxer. Heavy, what weight is he? Welterweight, or eh? And he's the champion, right? He's never been defeated. And Conor McGregor is a mixed martial arts fighter. He does that UFC cage fighting type stuff. And he's from Dublin, isn't he? He's Irish. We want him to win, if you're into that thing. But here's the thing. Do you know when you see boxers? Because usually it's just between boxers, isn't it? And you see when they go for their weigh-in, and the two of them kind of stand like this. And they eyeball each other, don't they? Or sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like that. But they're staring in each other's face. And there's a bit of a showdown there. And sometimes wee skirmishes occur. Usually it was kind of linked to guys like Mike Tyson, because he just terrified everybody for a while. But that's all about intimidation, isn't it? It is trying to unnerve your opponent. And if you can unnerve them, you have the psychological advantage, don't you? And that's what that's about. And they're constantly winding each other up, because they come from two different types of fighting. So Conor McGregor does martial arts, does boxing, but does kickboxing, Muay Thai, the whole kind of thing. So he's used to fighting and kicking and rolling a bit. Floyd Mayweather isn't. Floyd Mayweather is within the confines of what happens in boxing. And so Conor McGregor is the one I would suggest is at the disadvantage, because he has to kind of keep it together and only use his fists for this fight. But when they meet for weigh-ins, for media meetings or some of the stuff that's been going through Twitter recently, it's quite funny. But they're winding each other up. They're trying to intimidate one another, and they're trying to strike fear in the other one to unnerve them to get the psychological advantage over their opponent. And the last thing I heard about it this week was that there was a bit of a kind of hoo-ha about the weight of gloves they're going to use. Because apparently in boxing, they usually weigh 10 ounces. And so Conor McGregor saying, let's use 8-ounce gloves then. And Floyd Mayweather agreed, but Conor McGregor saying, well, we only started wearing gloves 3 years ago. And I'm like, oh man, talk about trying to intimidate your opponent, try to make it, well, I'm harder than you, you've always had these spongy things at the end of your fists. And so, what I want to tell you this, and what I want to remind you of, is this. Intimidation is never from God. Intimidation is from the evil one. And intimidation means to frighten or threaten someone, usually in order to persuade them to do something that you want them to do or not do. And also add to that, the act of making somebody feel guilty to get them to do what you want them to do. That's what intimidation is. God never intimidates. God lovingly leads us in partnership to do things with him. He doesn't call us to go and do it on our own. He looks for us to go, and then he is with us all the time. But sometimes we need to think it as like, well, if God goes first, then I'll go. And in scripture, we see that God encourages us to go, and then he follows with us. But at no point does he intimidate us. So, for example, the campaign of violence and intimidation against them intensifies daily. And sometimes intimidation escalates. Intensifies, it increases, and it makes people feel more and more and more fearful. It usually starts off gradual and builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up, and it reaches this crescendo where we feel absolutely terrified and we leave, we run, or we start to feel some of the things that you had said before. And so you're like, okay, John, where are we going with this? This is a bit different. And so here's where the change came for me this morning. And it was a big change. Through the night, and the reason I tell you this is because this doesn't happen for me often. But I had a dream last night. And in the dream, myself and Noah were in a minibus type vehicle. It was a public transport thing. There was nobody else on board apart from the driver. And then all of a sudden, the driver stopped. And he handed me, or he turned round to face us, what looked like a tablet or a phone type device with a recorded message, but it was in video. But it was mostly black. And the message was saying that I was targeted, my family was targeted, the church was targeted, and that we were never going any further. We were never going to go any further. And the message was brought with a black screen and masked voices. So the voices in it were, do you know like when you hear things on TV where they mask the person's voice and they cover their face so you don't get their identity? The voices were masked like that. There were details about us, our family, and our church in the dream that suggested the intimidation came from people who knew us or who had first-hand information about us. And the thing is that we could have been taken hostage, but this was just a warning to try to get us to move away or to give up our plans. Essentially, it was saying to us, you're not wanted here. You're no needed here. You're no liked. We don't like what it is that you're doing. Nothing that you're doing is going to be fruitful. It's not going to be successful. So you might as well wind your neck in and just go, because what you're planning isn't going to happen. So in the dream, I started kind of, you know, you've seen the movies, you've seen Taken, William Neeson, who isn't really macho but becomes really macho because it's a film, and he goes in. Anybody who is bad, he defeats them. And then you've seen the, probably seen the old Steven Seagal movies, or, do you know, where he's fighting against injustice, do you know, or you've seen the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies where, do you know, he fights to buy his freedom and all these types of things. So in the film, I undertook to find out who had undertaken this plan of intimidation against us. But when I woke up this morning, I knew it was the enemy. I knew instantly it was the enemy. In my dream, I was shouting. I was gesticulating. I was angry. I attempted to deal with this in human terms, but no getting anywhere. I tried to investigate it as some kind of vigilante would, or like, do you know, the Equalizer on TV would go and try. And I tried all that stuff, getting nowhere. Light bulb moment. Aha. That's the clue. That was the plan all along. This will not be rectified in human ways and in human terms. And here's the thing. The enemy is trying to intimidate us because he's intimidated. That's what he does. When people, so these two fighters that we're talking about, Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, they're both intimidated. For them to tell you, I'm not frightened of him, they might not be frightened, but you bet your bottom dollar that both of them have got that adrenaline rush. Do you know when you have to confront something, and nobody really likes confrontation, but sometimes you just have to deal with it, and you have that adrenaline thing because you need to go and face up to it, but you would rather not have to, but you know you're going to have to, because if you don't do it, it's not going to go anywhere, and you need to do it anyway. They both have that. But they'll never tell you that, because that's a sign of weakness. And they're both intimidated. And so therefore, when they're intimidated, they do the exact same thing in return as they try and intimidate their enemy. Because if they do that, it might disarm them a wee bit. That's what the devil does. Always. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Lions can be heard from 5 miles away when they roar. But what they do, and we looked at this before, to disorientate their prey, they walk low into the ground and they roar into the ground. And when they roar into the ground, the sound starts to dissipate and their prey can't figure out what direction that is coming from. They can hear it, and what they start to do is become frightened. They become fearful, and that is what the devil does. And sometimes people say, ah, you know that dog, its bark's worse than its bite. But why does a dog bark at you? To try and frighten you, or to try and warn you? Because it's frightened. But when it's frightened, it wants to frighten you so that you'll back off, and then it'll back off and try and stop any kind of closer kind of conflict or confrontation. That's what they do. And if you know about dogs, I'm not a dog lover. I don't hate them, but I'm not a dog lover, as anybody who knows me well enough will tell you. However, I know that much. And the thing is, they can sense fear. Can't they? The enemy knows when you're afraid. He senses fear. And I'm not saying it's directly the devil, because the devil can only be in one place at a time. But his hordes also detect that fear. But we have scripture that tells us perfect love casts out all fear. But here's the thing. Sometimes, and I love this, The enemy is trying to intimidate us because he's intimidated. And sometimes, do you know, when somebody tries to do something to somebody and they overstep the mark, and you're like, I knew it was them, and you instantly know because they just took it too far. And sometimes the enemy just takes it too far, and here's how he has. You ever seen a scarecrow? I'm not talking horror movie scarecrow, I'm just talking a scarecrow. Right? Just a regular scarecrow. What are scarecrows there for? They're there to scare crows. Duh. Right? And that duh is aimed at me, no you. Right? Incidentally, you were the only people who answered. But why is the scarecrow there? To protect what? Oh. Insightful. I like that. So there's a crop there. There's a harvest there. There's food there. Crows are stupid. God bless crows. But crows are stupid. Because if they had a semblance of intelligence, they'd realise that's where the food is. And they would all go there. But the scarecrow does its job. It intimidates them to keep them away from where the food is. Where the enemy is trying to prevent you from going or preventing you from going, that's where the fruit is. He's acting like a scarecrow. And he's stood. Scarecrows don't move. They stand like that. The enemy moves, unfortunately. But the scarecrow usually stands something like this, with a scary looking face. Brr, kind of. I hate crows. Keep away. Brr. And so the scarecrow stood like this. And the crows are frightened. But that's where the food is. And the enemy is trying to scare you and try to intimidate you because you're close to coming into the place of promise and fruit and food and harvest. How do we fight back against intimidation? If you have a Bible... Joshua chapter 6. This is so good. Ready? Now Jericho was shut up inside and out because of the Israelites. No one came out and no one went in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have handed Jericho over to you, along with its king and soldiers. You shall march around the city, all the warriors circling the city once. This you shall do for 6 days, with seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, the priests blowing the trumpets. When they make a long blast with the ram's horn, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all the people shall charge straight ahead." So Joshua, son of Nun, summoned the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and have seven priests carry